and more, deuce and more, deuce and more. They tell you what they know, deuce and more, deuce and more, deuce and more. The podcast that you know.
Hey, welcome into the Deuce and Mo podcast. We're recording this on a Saturday night. The Kings in the midst of a four-game road trip, a tough back-to-back. They go from Atlanta to Toronto tonight, but they're taking on a shorthanded Raptors team, playing without Scottie Barnes, Emmanuel Quickley, Kelly Olynyk, and even Bruce Brown. Don't forget about him. He's on that team as well. And they played last night, losing to the Lakers. They came into this game, losers of four in a row. Kings had won three in a row. Kings shorthanded, no Kevin Huerter. What was it going to look like against the shorthanded Raptors? Well, the Raptors played like dogs. They played tough. They played physical. Pushed the Kings to the limit. Kings got down by 13 with 5:18 to play into the fourth quarter, and we thought it was all over. It was a wrap, but the Kings kept crawling back in it. De'Aaron Fox had 14 points in the fourth quarter. DeMar DeRozan got it going with 10 in the quarter. And the Kings were able to force overtime on a Sabonis tip-in with limited time left. But then the overtime session went to the Raptors. They end up winning this game 131 to 128 in overtime. The Kings will be limping to Miami, finishing off the road trip. I'm Juice Mason. That's Morgan Reagan. How you doing, Mo?
I'm good. I'm great. Feeling good. Glad to be here. Glad it's a Saturday night. Glad it's early on in the season.
Aren't you glad I redid that intro? I was kind of cooking.
Did not care. I had a lot of fun working with Mike Bibby tonight, too.
Good. I'm glad you're getting the positives out of the way early. I like this.
Yeah. Let's see. Anything else that was positive? No, there's a few negatives there.
Vince Carter. Jersey retirement was cool. No, I don't want to hear it. There's people making fun of how long it lasts. It was like 35 minutes. One, it was scheduled for like 25.
He was supposed to talk for 6 minutes.
You know what? I don't care because there's not a Raptors fan in that building who care. They you could
100%.
Give me a full hour. The 100%. Only people were complaining were, Kings, this is too long.
No.
It's Vince Carter.
So again, I was part of the complaining jokingly though, because with Mike, I was just like, God, this could go by so quicker. And Mike Bibby, I love his take. He was like, you know, they should already have the banner up in the rafters. You just reveal it. You just reveal it. And then we counted in the postgame show how long it took to actually put the banner up in the rafters. 40 seconds of the 35 minutes. We could have shaved 40 whole freaking seconds.
Oh, stop it.
Anyway, Vince Carter should have been the only one talking to at the half. Like, I felt like there was just...
I agree. So that's fair. That's fair. Or they just save it for the post game. That would have been cool.
That's all.
Yeah, Vince seeing his emotions, like it was amazing. Like he was feeling it.
Yeah.
Like he was breaking down. And I also thought, side note, I kind of like the idea where it's not just like the jersey with the name and number on it. It had a picture of him too.
Mm-hmm.
Cool stuff. So congratulations to Vince Carter,
who was
like such a great human, was an awesome player. When he had that 1 year in Sacramento, Kings were bad. It was Fox's rookie year, but he had this one game against Cleveland where he was just cooking. You're just like, dude, this guy really is half man, half amazing.
And the fact that he once wore a Kings jersey, I don't give a shit if it was at the end of his career and it was for one season. It's just when it's someone like that, so iconic, it's really cool.
22 years in the NBA.
Jeez.
8 All-Stars and the Hall of Famer. Shout out to Vince Hannity.
Yeah. Oh, Mike Bibby was at that dunk, at his main dunk contest.
In 2000 in Oakland?
Thank you. It was that one. And he was courtside for it, and he just said it was electrifying. So, you know, you think about what he is as a human, what he is as a player, and then just for him to be able to dunk the way he did. I mean, just what an exciting person.
Yep. So congrats to him. All right, let's dive into this fun game. Kings lose in overtime 131 to 128. You look at the raw numbers that we'll go over offensively for Sacramento. Like, oh my God, some eye-popping numbers. Sabonis with a huge triple-double tonight. DeRozan had his first 30-point game as a King. But it's hard to get excited about that, Morgan, because I was impressed with how the Raptors came out to play tonight. And this game left me a bit concerned about where Sacramento stands at the moment. And I get it. They're three. Is that too harsh?
Like, yeah.
You haven't even heard. Hear me. You got to hear me out on this.
I'm listening.
Well, let's just start with the game itself, and then I'm going to go to big picture items that I have concerns about. tonight's game.
Take it away.
No Kevin Huerter. They elect to start Doug McDermott. Doug McDermott, who has not been the Kings rotation. I don't get it. And
no offense to Doug.
I could try to tell you what I think the thought process was. 6'7", 6'8" shooter kind of fills that same, you know, role as a Kevin Huerter, and you kind of keep Keon and Monk in their roles. Mm-hmm. Get it. But Kevin Herter's been playing pretty good basketball. All right. He's been knocking down shots. He's been doing a little bit of everything and even getting in on the defense and, mm-hmm. doing a good job there. Doug struggled mightily in his minutes defending, and it cost the Kings early in this game because
Correct.
He can't stay in front of his guy. And he ends up only playing 15 minutes in this game tonight. So you could just start Keon. I think in the second night of a back-to-back, you need to come out like swinging early so you can maybe like choke the life out of them, suck the life out of them early, and then you can like run away with the game and chill the rest
so
of the way.
I'm so glad you're saying this.
You agree with me.
I 100% agree. And again, it's not about, because it was funny, again, talking to Mike, he was like, no, I like Keon coming off the bench for this. And I was like, well, why? And he's like, you know, you have that punch from offense from Malik coming off the bench, and then you get that punch from defense.
Yeah.
From and I'm like, I completely understand that theory. But I think when you think about someone like Mike Brown, who seems to love like habit or, you know, consistency with some of these things. Like, for example, Malik Monk not going into the starting lineup ever and just coming off the bench. Like, he always found a way, even Keon getting that opportunity. I feel like the next step was obvious. It was supposed to be Keon, especially with this matchup.
He did it last year.
Yeah, and I'm just like, what are we overthinking here?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm with you, especially in a situation where, like, early on, you had Doug McDermott on Grady Dick. And it's like, Grady Dick has been playing some pretty good basketball lately. I don't want him to get going early. And not that Grady Dick was like a monster tonight with his efficiency, but he still impacted the game. I'm also not going to pretend like Doug McDermott is the reason why the Kings lost tonight. That's not my point. I just want to get off to a better start. The next thing, I understand teams employ zone defenses more than ever in the NBA this year, and I actually have no problem with that idea. And I think the Kings thought, you know what, this Raptors team is like near the top of the league in points in the paint, and they come into the game not shooting well from three. They're missing some guys we just talked about. They're shooting 31% from three. We can get away with playing some zone on them and make them beat us from three. Here's my problem. I don't like having the zone defense at the start of a game. I like to like get the game in some sort of rhythm, and then you throw in the zone to kind of throw things off. And all I saw was Kings going zone early. And what did that lead to? Chris Boucher gets an open look from three, zone defense, bang. Then he gets open in transition because the transition defense was bad tonight. Mm-hmm. Bang. Then he got a spray three because Doug McDermott couldn't stay in front of his guy and the guard penetrated and dished out three. My point is, giving these guys good looks early, I don't care if they're not good shooters. And
gets them in rhythm.
Boucher in his career is 33%. Not great. But these are NBA guys and they practice open threes. And if they're open, sometimes they like that and they can knock them down. Obagi's the same way. 32% from three in his career. He got good looks. And what do you know? He got in rhythm.
Yeah. And I'm completely with you on that. And I think once you give someone that opening to have that type of confidence, whether you're a bad shooter or not, if you can, you're in the NBA and you're feeling it, well, then like you're going to have one of those nights. And I just felt like the urgency and the adjustments weren't being made fast enough, just how it was with the night before on Garrison Matthews, right? It was like, he's more of a shooter. And I just felt like the physicality on him after wasn't adjusted. And I just felt the same way with this, where adjustments weren't being made fast enough.
Yeah. And they got absolutely destroyed in transition, which again, kind of adds up to what the Raptors have done this year. Even, you know, when they're banged up, is they're number one in fast break points. Tonight, they had 27 fast break points, 27. Some of that is the Kings were sloppy with the ball, 18 turnovers, Fox and DeRozan combined for 11 of those turnovers. But man, I went back and watched a lot of things because I was waiting for you. So I watched all Boucher's looks from three.
Okay.
I watched Abaji's looks from three, just the looks he got, because I feel like those two guys really changed the landscape of things tonight.
For sure.
I think when you looked at this Raptors team, you're thinking, who's going to be productive potentially? Grady Dick and RJ Barrett. But the problem is they had four players score 20 or more tonight. Boucher drops 24 points in 24 minutes, 9 of 13 shooting, 4 of 6 from 3. Ochai Agbaji drops 22 points, 9 of 12 shooting, 4 of 5 from 3. Those guys were that efficient?
Yep. Yep. And that's, again, I understand guys are going to have their nights, but I just felt like the adjustments made by the Kings wasn't urgent enough. And even if it was... I hear the dogs playing. Oh, okay. Sorry, it distracted me. But even if it was something like, okay, let's put the fresher legs out there. And I think at times, Mike Brown wanted to go to Trey Lyles, and Trey Lyles was off in so many different ways. And, you know, he at one point went to McLaughlin for 5 minutes because he was looking for those fresh legs, trying to throw different looks. But I feel like the thought process wasn't to make adjustments for different looks. It was to give a guy a breather. And I feel like the thought process needs to be more like, I can trust my guys.
He doesn't trust his bench.
Right.
And it hurts when you're down a guy. I thought tonight, even if Kevin Huerter was going to play tonight, in my head, I'm like, you know what? This is a good chance for Mike to play McLaughlin and McDermott tonight. Yep. Get them some run. It's the second I have a back-to-back. And if you look at the minutes distribution between the Kings and the Raptors, what a story it tells. The Raptors are shorthanded, as we've mentioned three times already. This game went to overtime. Their leading guy in minutes was RJ Barrett at 39, Agbaji 35, Poeltl fouled out at 34 minutes, Grady Dick had 37 minutes, Davion Mitchell 37, 24 for Boucher, but they had other guys that came off the bench and gave them 15, 16 minutes, yeah. 15 minutes. And this early season theme we're seeing from Mike Brown, the Kings, is, all right, starters, get ready to play 40 plus minutes if the game is close.
Yeah, and the games are going to be close a lot of times in the NBA. Right. I mean, it doesn't matter what team you are. You know, like you and I were talking about that even with the Boston Celtics. I think it was when the Kings were taking on the Hawks, and I was like, oh my God, I'm feeling anxious and nervous. Look at this score now. And you're like, dude, Morgan, the Celtics are losing to whoever the hell they were losing to, you know? And I'm like, no, you're right. It's a game of runs. Like, this is the NBA. These are all good players. It's the beginning of the season. And so you're going to have to play your guys all the time if that's the only people you trust, but it's not going to be sustainable for the season.
It's not. And you have to do a better job with it. And I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's like a desperation to get wins, so you just stick with who you know is going to do it. But if you don't have that depth, I mean, what if one of these guys goes down? Well, if Fox went down next game and Jordan McLaughlin, hey, we're going to need you to play 25 minutes a night. Like, is he going to be ready? He's not getting any reps. And I think there are minutes to be had, and you have to find ways to get these guys minutes to build your bench. And to me, it's problematic because if you don't have trust on your bench, then, like, well, one, you just have to play those guys more minutes.
Yeah.
But two, if you're Monty McNair, it's like, okay, like, I need to keep my eye out on guys like that we can fit in play, because it's just
puts a lot on their shoulders. It puts a lot on your shoulders if you're and I get it, next man up, you're supposed to be ready. 100%. I completely agree. Like, you do what you need to do at practices, everything. But NBA minutes, that experience is so different to be ready for, especially if you're not consistently even getting 5 minutes here or 10 minutes here or even a couple minutes here and there, whatever it is. And we're not seeing that consistently.
And I think Mike mentioned it after the game tonight, too. Mike Brown saying that, yeah, I know. I keep saying, like, I don't want to play my stars this much. I got to figure it out. Well, yeah, DeRozan plays 43 tonight. Okay, Sabonis plays 43 tonight. Fox plays 43. Keegan played 38. He fouled out. Would have played more, right? Mm-hmm. Monk played 38.
Yeah.
And so that's the second I have a back-to-back. And all I'm thinking about with someone like De'Aaron Fox tonight, who did not have a good game. Mm-hmm. He had a great fourth quarter that got them into overtime with 14 points and 3 steals. He was 0 for 11 from 3 tonight. And I went back and watched every one of those threes.
Of course you did.
All 11 of them.
Like, yeah.
That took that much time. I mean, sorry. That's
but
stupid.
You had to find them, but go on.
I'd say four of them were like, I didn't like those.
Okay.
What? Some of them were great looks.
What were the four that you didn't like?
Just
what did
forces.
He do?
Just okay. forces. And honestly, the final shot of the night, when DeRozan misses three, Kings get a second chance, Fox gets the ball back, top of the key. He had Monk wide open too. And I get Fox was open, but here's my thought process. I'm not trying to be like, I mean, I guess I am. I'm like Monday morning quarterback here where I'm like, well, this is what I would do. Malik was the one guy that I felt super comfortable with tonight.
Like
he kept him in it. He brought the juice. And
he got blocked on that jumper late.
You're right. He did take a couple of like fadeaway jumpers that were like, I'm like, okay. But like in some ways, I would have loved to see in that situation, De'Aaron go, I'm 0 for 10. Let me just swing it to my guy Monk right here and give him a chance. And
Deuce, but you know the mentality.
I get it, but you are also 0 for 10 in this game. And that's those are the tough decisions you make. I mean, LeBron gets criticized sometimes for making the right play where he gets a, hey, it's the end of the game, and he penetrates, gets inside, and the paint, and then dishes out to the corner for three to, like, Cam Reddish last year. Be like, you can't do that. It's like, no, that was the right basketball play. I'm just saying, if I'm Fox in that situation, knowing Malik Monk, my guy, right?
I get it, but I think the decision, I think it was... The decision was fine. And only because I'm like, look, if I'm De'Aaron Fox, I'm going, I'm a shooter. I can shoot this. This is going to be the one that I make, and it's going to be the biggest one of the game. Instead, it was an air ball. He says it was deflected.
It might have been, but I don't care. But that, again, that's the other thing is like, well, I could tell you Monk was probably not getting deflected because he was wide open. And so,
maybe.
But going to my point with De'Aaron Fox, because this is the point I was going to bring up before we went on this tangent about the 0 for 11. We could talk more about it. De'Aaron Fox last night, what was he doing? He was playing his ass off on both ends, an efficient night, and he had to go deal with Trae Young a ton. He was chasing him around all over. And then the next night, he's got to go play 43 minutes because, like, you don't want to play McLaughlin or you don't trust. Like, that. It goes back to what you're saying. It's not sustainable.
And
it's not.
And not only is it not sustainable, but it's, I mean... This is a team sport, and I understand, you know, when a rotation is only supposed to be, you know, oh, these eight guys for most nights, but that doesn't mean other nights that you can't go 10 guys in, you know? And I think going 10 guys in on a second night of a back-to-back against a bad Raptors team that you're supposed to beat, and that's why you're thinking in your head, I'm desperate. I got to make sure that my guys get their shit done. And again, maybe we talk to Mike Brown when he's back and like, these are still questions to be asked. And he's saying, look, I want this group to figure it out early in the season. So I'm making them work through the adversity maybe, but either way, I think it's so very important for players that will possibly need to see the floor to get some touches here and there a lot more than what they're getting.
And more than just like a little, hey, here's 2 minute sample size, because that doesn't, to me, that's not, doesn't count as like playing 9-10 guys. The Kings end up in this game playing nine, but you know, McLaughlin plays 5 minutes. Lyles played 12. McDermott started and played 14 minutes, 51 seconds.
You want to have, it's the best problem to have when you're like, oh, I can't play every guy. I can't play every guy. And it's like that want to play every guy because you have the confidence that you have enough weapons. And I think even with Kevin Huerter healthy, you know, it's something we've asked like, oh, where's Keon going to get his minutes? Where's Malik going to get his minutes? But I think what we're also seeing is that those two could possibly get more minutes, especially like you said, after a night that De'Aaron was working his ass off against Trae Young and the Hawks, and then his legs probably a little bit tired on
probably
a lot
why
of those
he was
threes.
0 for 11 from three. And I saw someone in the chat saying he was chucking. Again, I just go, I went back and watched, and I'm like, I mean, four of them I didn't like. And like, but a lot, he got some catch and shoot opportunities, some great looks in the corner, and
dude,
he missed them.
He missed some bunnies at the rim. Wow. You know what I mean? It was like, it was one of those nights where maybe it was fatigue or whatever that was taking over. And that, exactly. Like,
that's where Malik Monk, who looked like he had a little extra.
He
in
did.
Him. Like, and it's, again, this is where it's hard to nitpick. Because DeRozan and Fox, in my opinion, were the reason why they got it to overtime, right? Yeah. Those guys combined for 24 points in the fourth quarter to help get the Kings there. But, like, I think I want to see the ball in Malik's hands a little more.
I think this conversation is a fair conversation to have.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not an NBA coach. You know, I don't know what the answer is, but I think it's logical to just say, look, this is not sustainable.
Yep.
How do you fix it? Is it Monty in the roster? Is it Mike Brown trusting more of his guys? But also, if you're Mike Brown, you're also like, well, I don't want to get dinged for getting, you know, for losing if I'm not playing my guys, you know? And that's what's going to be the first thing that goes through your head.
I was really impressed with how hard the Raptors played. I thought they came out and set the tone early. I mean, we talked about them getting some good looks, but I thought that they really had the Kings out of whack offensively.
They were more physical.
Game. So, and I thought the Kings got more physical as the game went on.
Sure.
But in that first half, Kings were down 3 at the half,
yeah.
But it felt like it should have been like 15.
Yeah. When Kings got it back, rallied back, got it to 3, it was okay. Like, they still have that fight in them. But I thought what the Raptors did such a good job of was they dictated what the Kings were going to do offensively by putting that backcourt pressure on and then making sure that they couldn't get into their early offense. And then the Kings obviously weren't getting stopped, so it wasn't generating any fast break points that they needed or any type of flow of pushing the ball up the floor in the open court. So, yeah, I mean, there was just so many things that I can say that the Kings took themselves out of, but I thought the Raptors also did a good job of taking them out of their game.
And you know who looked really good tonight?
Hey.
Davion Mitchell.
Good job, Davion.
Davion Mitchell's defense tonight was spectacular. In that first quarter, you know, we did a breakdown on this with DeMar DeRozan. DeMar likes to get the mismatch or the perceived mismatch sometimes, mm-hmm. right? Where get a smaller guy on you. And, you know, back him down, maybe have that turnaround jumper, or the help comes and, you know, he feels out, hey, who's open, or finds a different way to attack. I think early on, he thought Davion Mitchell was going to be a mismatch. Davion Mitchell was not a mismatch because Davion is strong
yep.
and great base, and he was digging for the ball. He forced a couple of turnovers on DeMar DeRozan.
I mean, it's something that we always loved about Davion, yeah. even in Sacramento. It's like you could depend on him for the most part to disrupt someone's game. I think there was just like frustrating times when his size came into play. And tonight against the Sacramento Kings, who, you know, aren't the biggest team in the league, it didn't really come into play. And I just loved his effort out there. I loved that he was starting. And I didn't want him to get the W, but I'm also happy for him that he's actually getting a lot more opportunity.
He had 5 steals tonight.
He also for the team.
Had some incredible plays on De'Aaron too.
Yeah.
He was picking up full court. He had a big time strip on him. Davion pressured him once. Fox like dribbled off himself. Then Davion stripped him at one point. It was really impressive. And he absolutely brought it on that end. I think that gave them a lot of life. And then, you know, when he's forcing turnovers, they're getting out and running. And that team has some athletes. Agbaji was spectacular.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy in transition was a force. All of his baskets were easy baskets. When you look at 9 of 12, was he 9 of 12 shooting tonight? Yeah, 4 or 5 from 3, 22 points, 5 rebounds for him. All of them were first play, his first one, he went back door on DeRozan, who fell asleep.
Mm-hmm.
Cut, scored, easy. He got an open corner 3 after some bad pick-and-roll defense. Davion penetrated. The next one was running off a Kings turnover. Next couple, just running off Kings turnovers, getting the ball and scoring in transition. I love the energy he played with. He didn't play like he was on the second eye of back-to-back. He played like he was like, I want minutes when guys get back.
Yeah, they didn't. A lot of these guys with this Raptors roster played like they wanted the opportunity. And I love when rosters like this show up like that. Love it. Don't love it when it shows up against the Sacramento Kings. But I think there's something there. And that's why when the Kings kept rallying back against some of these players on the Toronto Raptors, I was impressed with their fight and their ability
Dude.
To keep clawing and going because you could tell it was hard. You could tell the fatigue was there and everything on the second night of a back-to-back traveling all the way to Toronto. But at the same time, at the end of the day, you find a way to get the dub if you are a good team. And that is that's the toughest part that I take from this game.
I think the Kings are a good team. But I think
a good team,
in one of the better teams.
Sure, however you want to say it.
They win this game in the fourth quarter tonight. Like,
yep.
Oh, if Oklahoma City's playing this game, and it's they win this game.
What game was that
quarter.
That we watched the other day when they like
against the Hawks?
Yes,
it was the Hawks. It was the Hawks kept them close through three quarters, and the first few minutes of the fourth quarter, they turned it on, and we're like, we're winning this game. It's over, and it felt like the Kings had chances, right?
Yeah,
I thought that was the other thing that was I thought disappointing. The Kings cut it to two. With like 2 minutes and 12 seconds to go in the third quarter. Cut it to two. And then 8-0 run. And then all of a sudden they're down 10 going into the fourth. And you're just like, guys, take better shots. Play your game. Get stops. Like, can we lock in a little bit here?
Mm-hmm.
And the Raptors did not roll over. And that, if I'm a Raptors fan, I'm excited about a game like tonight. Because I'm like, wow, this Sacramento team hung in there, had a chance to like really take control,
yes.
And we answered. We kept throwing punches back.
You know how deflating it probably was for that arena when Domas got that putback to send the game to OT? Like, it was probably like, oh shit, this is what's going to happen. Now our team's going to lose.
Morgan, I thought when it was going to overtime, I went, well, this is going to be interesting because I think the Kings have to feel great. That young team, in my head, I'm like, they might come down to earth a little bit here in the overtime.
Sure. Oh, you thought the Raptors were going to come back. Yeah. And they didn't. They freaking fought. Yeah. They fought. Kings just did not look great. Their defense didn't. That was concerning. Their defense not looking great against a bad team. And I'm calling them a bad team because they lost four straight. Okay. Like, they're coming to this game
just
losing
banged.
Four straight.
I would say, even if you don't think they're bad, they're in an inexperienced team that has had some tough losses. But I think the one thing they do is they play hard and they're athletic. And sometimes young guys just don't have fear and they're just going to go out there and play. And some of these guys are getting minutes. They're just like playing. Jacoby Walter just played his first game yesterday. He's a rookie. He's just playing, right? Boucher's been around. He's like, I just got to knock down some shots. Boucher was awesome. He hit his open shots today, 24 points for him, and he was getting great looks. And it some of it was being open, but some of it was just the Raptors play. The Raptors played offense tonight, literally how the Kings want to play offense, and that is push in transition, get paint touches, spray threes in transition, have guys sprint to the corner and create action out of that. And they did that.
Yeah,
they did. They ran creative stuff. You know, Grady Dick didn't knock down shots a ton throughout the game. And in the fourth quarter, he had some big plays. He got Fox a couple of times.
Yeah.
You know, Fox went for the pump fake, and Grady Dick is just, I like about, he just plays hard.
Well, and
man.
He had that big pick on De'Aaron too toward the end of the game.
So we mentioned the Fox 0-for-11, but the turnovers too. He had won the fourth quarter about 6 minutes to go where he threw a really just lazy pass trying to get it to Monk. Grady Dick read it perfectly, stole it, went back the other way, and the Raptors scored. And it's just so frustrating. But that play late, I think it was a good idea. Fox went ISO mode. It was a one-point game. Fox, like, you know what? I like this mismatch against a young player in Grady Dick. I think I have the ability to score. And he backs him down, and Grady Dick just stayed strong, poked the ball away, played great defense. But to me, it goes to a larger picture. You're playing these guys so many minutes and like, wow, wait, guys are missing shots that sometimes they make. Like De'Aaron going 0-for-11. Yes, I'm with you. He could have passed up some shots and drove to the basket, blah, 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 whatever.
Takes a lot of energy.
Again, this guy played a ton of minutes last night chasing Trae Young, and then you're asking him to play 43 minutes. You have to have a bench. There's a reason there's benches in sports. You need these guys.
Is that why?
Yeah, breaking news. You need these guys.
Yeah. Yeah, just a little. Just
it's a long year.
A little bit more trust there, just to start. I don't know, developing that confidence and the ability to go out there. You know, if your number is called, like it just I just don't think at this level it can be so random. Unless you're getting closer and closer to the end of the season and that's where you want to do these things. I know you want to win these games that you're supposed to win, but you're ultimately going to hurt yourself as a team if you don't put a little bit of trust and time in the beginning of the season.
Completely agree, you know. And, you know, someone like Trey Lyles, it's tough. I was thinking about him because he just doesn't look like he's moving well. Like, I'm like,
I know.
And I understand with a groin injury, like, you don't get to do anything. Like, you're not, you can't, like, go on the treadmill. You can't run. Like, you have to let it heal. And he comes back, doesn't, you know, participate in training camp, doesn't play in the preseason. And then he gets, you know, some run and some 5-on-5. But I don't know. I just felt like he's not moving well defensively.
Well, even when he dunked the ball, though, it didn't look right. He didn't look bouncy. Like, and not to say he was ever looking bouncy, but he didn't look, it didn't look loose.
And so that's tough. It's like you have a guy who's maybe not in basketball shape at this standpoint after coming back from the injury. And it's like, okay,
that's tough.
But you need to play him because he needs to get in shape. It's, oh, man. Trey got to get on the bike constantly or something. I don't know.
Yeah, groin injuries, it's just time consuming, right? Like, it takes a lot of just time to actually heal. And all you can work on is, you know, your nutrition, your shot, whatever else there is to really work on. But to be in shape and feel like the conditioning is there is going to be different.
I appreciate you guys hanging out with us tonight. If you have not done yet, hit the thumbs up and subscribe. I see the chat. There's a lot of people making the case I should shave my head again.
No, I say no.
Shave a head to give the Kings fans true support.
No.
Also saying that the vibes were better.
No.
Then, no, you know, I shaved my head, the Kings like missed the playoffs. That was why I shaved I shaved my head because I said they would win over like 35 and a half games. They did not. Something like that.
Yeah, it was bad.
Yeah. So like that wasn't good.
No.
And I kept it rolling for a little bit, but no, I grew it back that next season.
It was not good.
Yeah. Also, Chips in the chat says, Dick plays defense hard also. You definitely don't want to post up or back him down. Chips, with all due respect, De'Aaron Fox, he's shown the ability to do that. He's also very strong and is very comfortable in those situations. They got him. He got him that time. You tip your cap. It was a great play, you know? But Grady definitely has talent. If I'm a Raptors fan, I kind of like what we got a little bit.
Someone else mentioned this too, and I feel like we have to just mention it.
Yeah.
The Drake being kind of a little bitchy bitch.
Okay.
On the side.
I'm not going to pretend like I know everything about this whole like Drake DeRozan.
No.
But I'm pretty sure they used to be cool because what do you know? Drake is. He's a Raptors fan, even though he wears like every other jersey at every whatever. I'm gonna piss off Raptors fans on this. Okay, I'll stop. All right, so Drake, I already pissed off Canada today. We can talk about that with my map thing.
Yeah, we'll talk about
anyway. So Drake and DeMar, I guess, used to be close. You know, he played in Toronto all those years. Drake goes to games. Well, you know, the whole Kendrick Lamar, Drake beef.
It was beef.
Kendrick had DeMar DeRozan in his video. Uh-huh. DeMar DeRozan was on stage at the show at the Forum. Anyway, you had Drake at the game tonight, and then he was on the broadcast, on the Raptors broadcast, and here's what he had to say about DeMar DeRozan.
Yes, if you ever put a DeRozan banner up, I'll go up there and pull it down myself. That's the answer to your question.
He said, if there's ever a DeRozan banner in the Raptors, I'll go down and pull it down myself. There's also a video that was posted on social media of Drake just staring down DeMar DeRozan
a lot
of the game. After the game, DeMar DeRozan was asked about it.
DeMar, in tonight's broadcast, Drake said, if you ever put up the DeRozan banner up, I'll go up there and put it down myself. What's your reaction to that?
Well, he's going to have a long way to climb to take it down. So tell him good luck.
DeMar.
Okay. I don't know. Maybe there's a lot of deeper issues here. But Drake, or Jimmy, as I remember you from Degrassi.
No.
Relax. You're a grown-up. You're going to stare down DeMar DeRozan. What are you going to do? What are you going to do to DeMar DeRozan?
Here's why. No. It's not about what are you going to do to DeMar DeRozan. It's What are you going to do as a fan courtside on an NBA floor? Like, you're not, you ain't doing shit. You know what I mean? And that's the only reason why I'm like, you know, you're protected in this element, you know, like, remember what they say, take it outside, kids, like, whatever. My point is, like, you want to act all tough and hard. And I mean, people do that. And again, what sucks about this is that I always liked Drake growing up, like, loved his music, everything. And then the beef started happening. I'm like, ooh, okay. Like, I'm just going to play it even. And then you see shit like this and you're like, that is bitch mentality.
It's just lame.
It just is.
It's also lame that you would just say on the Raptors broadcast. Because even if you don't like DeMar, like, you have your beef with DeMar, like, he is one of the greatest Raptors ever. He is. And he will have his jersey retired by the Toronto Raptors. He was a great Raptor. And, like, stop. Grow up. How old are you?
I think that's fair.
How old are you, Drake? Anyway.
Fair enough. Drama.
A couple of things. We've definitely, I feel like we've hit on almost everything bad from this game. I mentioned the fast break points, the 3-point shooting by Toronto. They end up 17 of 37 from downtown. They came into this game shooting 31%. They shoot
46
tonight. They were, they knocked down 6 threes in the first quarter, which made me uncomfortable. Meanwhile, Sacramento.
Yeah.
I know we mentioned this briefly last night in our podcast. We go live after every game. They were 10 of 40 from three. Fox is 0 for 11. That's 25%. I mean, are they going to start knocking down some threes, or are we to the point where this is not a good 3-point shooting team? And we just have to acknowledge the fact that, like, okay, Kevin Huerter has shot it well this year. He didn't play tonight, but, you know, Keegan Murray, what'd he end up? 2 of 6 from downtown. Not terrible, but he hasn't been consistent from three. DeRozan took 7 of them tonight, 2 of 7 from downtown.
I think sometimes, okay, and you say 2 of 7 for DeMar, I feel like
some of them are late.
Yeah, that alone. So even 2 of 5, if you really want to go there, but it's 2 of 7. This game, how the NBA is played, 3-pointers are absolutely important. And when you get an open three in a basketball game, coach wants you to take it. Completely understand, too, because, you know, you want to make sure that you are getting good looks. When they're not dropping every night, it can become confusing and frustrating. And like, why don't you just take it in? Why don't you work it into the paint? Whatever. I don't think I would feel this way if it was just inconsistent, but there's no consistency. Right. With good shooting from beyond the arc right now.
They have not shot it well from three this season.
Nope.
And so, and you know, looking back at it, I think there are times they're generating some really good looks from three. And so you look at the guys that you expect to shoot it well, or you would like to think, Huerter,
mm-hmm.
Keegan, who's been up and down,
mm-hmm.
Monk has been up and down. He was 3 of 7 tonight, which was great to see. Keon has shot it well from three in the past. And then Trey, who has not shot it well this year from three. So, yeah, they need 3-point shooting. I mean, there's no denying it. It's good that they're getting to the free throw line a shit ton. They were 26 of 32 tonight. That's awesome. Fox, I think, coming into this game was shooting 90%. That drops a little bit tonight because he missed 2. Sabonis was at 80% coming into tonight.
Yeah.
He was 7 of 8 from the free throw line. But, yeah, I am on the concerned about the 3-point shot thing right now.
It's early.
I'm still in the it's early.
Good. Thing. I think you should.
Five more games of this, I'm going to be like, that's what's fine. Going on?
That's fine. Because, yeah, at that point you go, okay, you're generating good looks for the most part. I mean, yeah. I mean, like you said, you go back and watch every goddamn game and you look at the looks generated and you're like, okay, well, that's a good look. That's a shot you want to take. That's a shot you want to take. And when they're not falling, the excuse can't be like, oh, they're just having a bad shooting day. Oh, they're just tired and fatigued. It's the second night of back-to-back, whatever. Like, there can't always be an excuse for it. There's going to come a time where it's like, oh, the inconsistency, like, when it quacks like a duck, walks like a duck, you know, whatever the hell that saying is. Yeah. Walks like a duck. Did I ever say that?
I think it's poop like a duck.
Poop like a duck. All the things like a duck. Then, like, believe it's a duck. You know? It's a duck.
So smooth, dude. I always love when someone brings up a, like, some sort of, like, saying and they have no idea what it is.
Well, I knew what I was saying, but...
Walks like a duck. Talks like a duck.
But ducks don't talk. Donald Duck.
No, but...
Daffy Duck.
They talk in their own way just because they don't speak English.
No. No. No, but, I mean, they make noises. That's not... I mean, that they're not... They're communicating with one another, but they can't communicate with humans.
Oh, so that means they can't talk because they can't communicate with humans.
If it walks like a duck, makes noise like a duck.
That's not the same.
I know.
If it quacks like a duck.
Quacks! Let's see. Quacks! God! Thank you.
We're so stupid. If it looks like a duck, if it swims like a duck, and it quacks like a duck, then it probably is a duck.
You said talks like a duck. Ducks don't talk, you stupid idiot!
Sorry that I have a deep connection with ducks.
Ducks.
And so, like, quacking to me is talking in some ways.
Anyway, my point is, going back to three-point shooting.
How, like, many people are going to be either right now watching this live or watching this later going, God, you guys are idiots. How do you not know the saying?
A lot of people.
Oh, we're
just
so
couldn't think
stupid.
Of quack.
We
I
are
think
so
of
stupid.
Quack.
Oh, my God.
Quack, quack, quack. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, we've hit on a lot of bad. Is there any other bad stuff we want to hit on tonight?
No, get to some of the good.
Okay, some of the good tonight. Well, I think Sabonis should have gotten the rock more if they could have gotten it to him. But he had 17 points tonight, 20 rebounds, 10 assists. Yeah, that's a triple-double with 20 rebounds.
Yep.
He had 7 offensive rebounds. That triple-double moved him past Larry Bird. He now has the 9th most triple-doubles in NBA history. 17 points again, 20 rebounds, 10 assists for Sabonis, and he was literally getting beat up tonight. I think the mascot came over, I think punched him in the face once. I saw some fans kind of kick at him when he was near the basket.
Dude, he
gets beat up, man.
There were times
he gets beat up, man. What am I saying?
It's okay. Quack. There were definitely times where I felt like they were allowed to come down on him and it'd be like a jump ball. And then when he would come down on someone else or be physical, it felt like, well, that's a foul, or it would be called a foul. And I mean, I'm not complaining about that. You know, it's obviously the officiating was fine. But my point is, when you do see a guy consistently get beat up all game, sometimes I think it's just like expected. Like, yeah, that's just what happens to him. But it's like, no, call it when you see it too.
Yeah. I just love how hard he plays all the time.
I agree. You know, all the time. And he even had 5 fouls late. And the fact that he had 5 fouls in the fourth. So, you know, like, he was able to stick with it through overtime and everything. And he's been doing such a good job of being just super reliable for his teammates. And I mean, not only on the boards, but you just look at him making an impact in so many different ways.
Yeah, I mean, to get 7 offensive rebounds, and, you know, that's huge for a team that was trying to claw their way back in this game to create additional opportunities. He wasn't perfect. I think Poeltl does a good job on him. Like, Poeltl is just, like, another big, tough guy. He ends up fouling out in this game. But Sabonis absolutely dominated the boards. And for a Sacramento team that may have problems on the board sometimes, they did out-rebound Toronto tonight, 49-46. Another shout-out to Keegan Murray. He had a double-double, 16 points, 10 rebounds. And we're starting to get a theme with Keegan where I think he's doing a great job with the rebounding. He is just going in there and fighting for rebounds on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
He had 3 offensive rebounds tonight, and it just felt like he has made it a point that he's like, I got to go out in there and mix it up and get rebounds. He's big. He's stronger than last year.
Yeah.
I love what I'm seeing on that. And he's playing great defense. I thought offensively he had some solid moments tonight for sure. He had one play where he missed at the rim. And I'm like, again, you probably should have dunked that. I'm going to keep harping on that. Keegan Murray, I've seen you take the jump to be physical when it comes to going out and getting rebounds, tough rebounds from people. I want to see that same type of fight attacking the rim. I got to see
listening.
It. Go he's, jam on somebody.
He's not listening. You're like talking to him. But I'm sure he's told by people that actually do get through to him.
You know, you gotta listen to Deuce, man. You know what he's saying?
Watch this clip.
Yeah.
Just look into his eyes. Yeah. You're right. And you know what's funny? Sometimes, like I'll look at Keegan's game, like even when he fouled out, I'm like, God dang it. You know, what did he really, you know, what did he produce tonight? And it's been so consistent with his rebounding and the way that he's crashing the boards. And I think sometimes that can be overlooked, especially when when some of his threes aren't falling down. But you really look at his stat line and you go, okay, like he's, you still want to see more from him. You want him to take that leap as like one of the star players. And he's so, there's just, if you look at his stat line, I just feel like there's so much that he contributes that it's like, he is such a solid player and he will just keep getting better.
The last guy we should mention, I know we briefly touched on him and then how I thought he could have had that last shot of the game in the overtime, but Malik Monk had 21 points, 4 assists, 4 rebounds. He did a 9 of 16, 3 of 7 from downtown. And I thought he brought a lot of life to this team, that they needed his juice tonight. He came in right away and brought it. And there were multiple times that I felt like he was the one that got them back in the game.
Hell yeah. His energy, that spark, his confidence. But when I say that energy, it's not like the emotional energy. It was the physical energy that he brought out there.
He had that one tough-ass rebound, too.
Yeah.
He had some really tough shots in the second quarter. And it was like, yeah, dude, like this might need to be a Malik Monk game. All I was envisioning at the time was like, man, maybe this is going to be like that Clippers double OT game where he just goes off for 40 off the bench and somehow wills his team to a win. But ultimately, the Kings fell short. DeMar DeRozan had 33 tonight.
Some
not super efficient, 12 of 27, but he got going
big
late.
Shots late.
I mean, that's
that's what he's been doing.
We went over the bad. I'm going over some of the good.
As you should.
It was nice to see, like, oh, well, the Kings did get back in this game because you've got two guys in DeRozan and Fox who can get you back into a game. And it worked last night, right? The Kings had the lead, though. And so they were able to answer once the Hawks tied it. This time around, you're trying to claw back. And that can be a challenge. But the Kings had every opportunity to win this game. And that's the other thing. Like, you made it like a 3-4 point game with a couple of minutes to go in the fourth quarter. In my head, I'm like, well, there's no excuse. Like, go win the game.
Yeah.
And same thing in overtime. Raptors score the first 4 points. You settle for some threes. It's like, okay, you're almost deserving of this loss at this point because you claw back in and then you make poor decisions or you don't do the right things. And the Kings had every opportunity to win this game.
It was funny. We were talking about it in the studio and then you had called too. And so we're talking with Mike, our producer, and producer's like, is this like, would you guys even see this or could consider this a scheduled loss? And, you know, don't really believe in those, but I thought the points were interesting. He's like, the travel is weird, second night of back-to-back, and then a 35-minute halftime. You know, like, is this just like one of those? And, you know, Mike, what I love about Mike is him being a former player and him experiencing so many different weird travel throughout his career at a different era of the NBA. You know, he's like, no, like you figure it out. You do what you got to do. And I'm definitely there too. Like, I think it's a valid thing to even bring up or even question. But at the same time, when you're the Sacramento Kings and this is what you've done to your roster to become and want to be considered that good team, these are the, like, there's no scheduled losses. Like, there's just not.
Yeah, I'm not a big believer in that. You know, it's like the Raptors weren't chilling at home last night, like the last couple of days. They played a game against the Lakers and they clawed back in that game. Like, I know they didn't have to travel from Atlanta, but that's part of being an NBA player. And, you know, this is 5-6 games into the season. We're not like in the dog days where it's like, oh man, I'm just beat up 4 games in 5 nights. It's, yeah, you know, yeah, physically, yeah, we might be a little bit tired, but it's a mental thing. And like, I'm not, go ahead and make fun of me, Morgan, but
what?
There are times in the season I'm really tired. Okay? I have long days watching this shit, okay? And I have to come on and do a podcast and, you know, charm the people, make them laugh, make them emotional.
No one asked you to be here, bud.
Make them feel.
No one asked you to
be here. Entertain, all this stuff. There's a lot of pressure on me. But guess what? Whether I'm tired or not, I'm doing it. I'm locking in. Let's go. What, you know why? Because I want to be great.
Okay.
Do you want to be great? Do you want to be a good team in the West? Do you want to win a round, go deep in the playoffs? Then you win games against the Toronto Raptors on the second night of a back-to-back, even if you were in Atlanta the night before. Let's go.
This is what I said. I said to Mike, too. I was like, yeah, like, you can sleep tonight. Just leave it all out there. Do whatever you need to do. Yeah. You know?
In all fairness, I didn't get the sense tonight that, like, oh, the Kings didn't try to.
They never wavered.
No,
ever.
Like, they were down 13 with 5:18 to play. They forced overtime. Going. Like, they made mental mistakes. They missed shots that you're going, you probably don't miss those, but those are bigger things. So I don't look at tonight. I'm like, the Kings didn't try. No.
Not
like,
even for
that's
a second.
One of the laziest. When you have to, if you're coming on and talking about the team didn't try, then you better be sure that they didn't try. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Even with them not matching the Raptors' physicality right away, the fact that they made adjustments throughout the game to get better at it, right? To be like, okay, we need a little bit more of this. Okay, we need a little bit more urgency on, you know, certain people. Whatever was happening, they were making adjustments, and the effort was there within the adjustments.
Yeah. And they probably looked a little tired.
Yes.
Appreciate you guys being with us tonight. We still got more of the pod. By the way, we've got great news for you tonight.
What's the great news?
Just an update for the live audience. The clocks fall back tonight in the United States of America. I don't know about Canada. Do they do it there?
Don't they do it?
I don't know. I don't know how that works. I don't know about daylight. I think it's an American thing. Anyway, my point is,
typical.
We get to get some extra sleep tonight. 1 hour of extra sleep.
Give me a hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Daylight savings around the world.
Around the world. Around the world. We should also mention that tonight's podcast presented by our friends over at Mother Restaurant in Sacramento. Morgan Reagan.
Oh my God. I need some mother this week. And you can also go pregame with your mother. Every single Sacramento Kings game, you get 50% off all drinks. They have wine, beer, anything you want. So make sure to check out Mother. They have some of the best food in all of Sacramento. I know I talk about it all the time. And they have new deals coming in November. Let's just say, you bring in a photo of your mother, grandmother, dead or alive. I'm just throwing that out there.
Okay.
You could get 50% off.
You just show them like, hey,
your entire meal. Okay. Yeah. So bring in a photo of your grandmother, or your mother.
This is my grandma. She died 25 years ago. Yep. I'm getting what?
You're getting 50% off your entire meal. And this is on any day that they're open. They're doing this all through November. So.
Well, they're in Sacramento, 23rd and K. You can also order online, mothersacramento.com. Amazing food, Juan. You can go there. If it's a nice day, eat outside, but the indoor is great too, or you get it to go. MotherSacramento.com. Also presented tonight by our friends over at Golden One Credit Union.
We are one.
So many perks to being a Golden One member. One, how about their online ticket portal where you can save up to 50% off Kings home games, 15% off merch. There's perks like, hey, you wave your card at a game, maybe you get selected to go courtside. Maybe you can go on the court to shoot a free throw after a game. There's so many awesome perks, and it's also an awesome place. You need to sign up today.
Absolutely, and the people are amazing as well. And it's just like, if you're a Kings fan, you might as well just be connected with all this because you get 15% off merch, up to 50% off
Kings home games.
Like, I know. But my point is, it's like, there's just so many perks to it. Why not become a Golden One Credit Union member today?
That's how you win as one.
One.
Sign up today, goldenone.com. Also presented by our friends over at Northwest Exteriors. You need windows.
Yes.
Maybe you need a new HVAC system.
Yes, I got it.
Maybe you need a tune-up on your existing HVAC system.
Well, I needed a new one, so I didn't get a tune-up, but you can get a tune-up.
Well, you'll get one tuned up soon. You got to trust the experts at Northwest Exteriors. They are amazing, and they have an amazing showroom that you should check out for yourself in Sacramento. And plus, everyone who's worked there has worked there forever. They don't subcontract out to some company in California. Getting new windows is a game changer for your house. Getting a new HVAC is a game changer for your house. Trust the experts
even
at Northwest.
If there's just a part of your house where you're like, oh, hey, this part's always freezing in the winter. Maybe it's your windows. Trust me. I did that and I was like, oh, yeah, I know. It makes sense because 1940s windows aren't going to do much. Oh, and I'm saving a lot of money. Yeah, just because you obviously made the choice by reaching out to Northwest Exteriors.
So check out their website, northwestexteriors.com, because Morgan, Reagan, they are
simply the best. Trust Northwest.
Good job. Thanks. It's great to be back in studio and hear it.
So good. Mm. Okay, Chat and Morgan Reagan.
That's me.
Who should be our simply the best player of the game? Green in the chat was asking us about RJ Barrett, what we thought about him tonight. I thought RJ did a great job.
What was he at the free throw line?
He was 8 of 11. He missed those two late. Yeah, that was tough. But he finished with 31 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists. I thought the 6 assists were great. I mean, it's just getting penetration and making the right play. He had a lot of opportunities to spray out for 3. He was getting a lot of attention, getting the Kings defense to collapse. His size was problematic for Sacramento. I thought he did a good job hunting out mismatches, getting switches that he liked.
And
awesome stuff.
And he's a 64% free throw shooter.
Wow, that's, I didn't realize he was shooting that poorly from the free throw line.
That's why I was like, I knew he shot well, yeah, but I didn't know what he finished at. Amazing. Great. Good for you, RJ. Good for you.
Okay. See what the chat's saying. Simply the best. Player Ooh. Of the game. Someone mentioning Sabonis. Someone saying Keon, not Fox. Malik, obviously. Someone saying Boucher.
Ooh.
Where would you go tonight? Kings, Raptors, how are you feeling?
If I went Kings, I'd go Malik, but because this loss felt weird, I don't know. I'd probably go with, like, any of them, honestly.
Well, for the first time this season, we are going to the other team.
Oh, and it's not that.
We're going to the other team.
And it's a...
Chris Boucher tonight. Simply the best player of the game presented by Northwest Exteriors.
No.
24 points, 5 rebounds. He did a 9 of 13 shooting and 4 of 6 from downtown.
You heal.
I think why he gets the edge over someone like RJ Barrett, who had 31, or Abaji, who had 22, or Grady Dick, who had 22. He came out early.
He set the tone.
He set the tone big time. And his confidence from 3, I thought, was significant. He got some great looks. He knocked him down. And I thought he did a good job setting the tone for the Raptors, especially coming off the bench. So, unfortunately, tonight, our simply the best player of the game goes to the opposing team.
Boo.
Chris Boucher from the Toronto Raptors.
Yeah.
Someone in the chat says, this is a Kings channel, right? Kings, and I mean, we're obviously focused on the Kings a lot. We go live after every game. We do a lot of NBA, too. But, I mean, are we supposed to just pick a King just to pick a King?
We could, come on, man. But that would be like, I mean, that's what participation trophies are for, you know? Like,
let's get to some super chat.
Oh, my God. Thank you, guys.
Sebastian. Shout out, Sebastian.
Cheers.
Couple of super chats from him. Kings fan base needs some support after this tough loss. A deuce, I am going to shave my head if the Kings don't win X games is all Kings fans need. So that's not even, I'd have to come up with something new. He also says, Spurs beat Minnesota. Are you scared of the Spurs yet? Love your show, Go Kings. I'm not scared of the Spurs. They've been up and down this year. You know, they're different. It's good. I mean, I think getting Chris Paul to play with Victor is big. Harrison Barnes had some nice moments for them. I really like Stephon Castle's potential, but no, I'm not worried about the Spurs.
Fair.
Jay?
Good job.
Is it Jay? I feel like we've had this name before, and I got confused the first time. It's been a while. I apologize. Jay or Jai? Jay? I'm going to say Jay. Monk should have got that last shot. He was open. I love Fox. He's the main man on the team, but make the smart move. You are 0-for-10. Hit the open man. I think Fox also felt like he was open, to be fair, but I mean, I agree with you. I said the same thing at the start.
And I understand it completely, but I just also think that it's just so hard in that moment to change your mentality of like, you believe in yourself. You believe that like, no, I'm going to make this shit. Like I've missed 10. Well, I'm not going to miss this one. The biggest one. I'm clutch. Well, it was an air ball or tipped.
It was short And he had a few of them who were short. So that's what makes it kind of tough, right?
Absolutely.
0 for 11 in this one. Also in the chats, Ori, has your season outlook changed based on what you've seen so far from the Sacramento Kings? They're 3-3, Morgan Reagan. No, because I think I've seen enough good. There is good in the T-Wolves game. There was good in the Lakers game, and then that 21-0 run happened. The three straight wins were nice. There were really good moments. Tonight was probably the most frustrating for me because I felt like this game was so winnable. And to answer his question,
yeah,
I have the same concerns I had in July, the same concerns I had after camp, after the preseason, and now it's okay. They need some more size. They need wing defenders. And do we trust the depth?
There you go.
What about you?
It hasn't changed because I definitely have higher expectations than I've had in the past, which great, you know, like they've shown a lot with, I feel like, adjustments that they've made to the roster and just like what they can do as individuals. Great, higher standards. Glad I'm there. But at the same time, with some of the flaws, and you think about what other rosters have, I don't ever doubt the ability of these individuals and what they're capable of doing on the court. But I do doubt the depth and the size and what that can do in a league of really big people and 82 games. It can really screw with you.
Yeah. So I would, to answer your question, I think we both agree. I don't think our opinions have changed. It's the same. I mean, I think this team can be really good in this league.
Yeah.
I am interested to see what, you know, because a couple of games ago, we're like, man, the defense had some really good moments, right? Mm-hmm. And then you see a few more breakdowns in that Hawks game. And then you see tonight where you're like, the transition defense wasn't good. But then, you know, also some of it was just your offense, like missing shots and turnovers that put you in some really challenging positions defensively. But I'm curious to see what the defense looks like against some really good teams.
Agreed.
So, a couple of NBA things. Did you see the Joel Embiid shit?
Yeah, at first when I saw it, I was like, oh no, what did he do? And then hearing more and more, there's a lot more to it.
Well, Joel Embiid is now under NBA investigation. This is a story Yahoo put out there, compiling all the information. So, a columnist in Philly, I think it was last week, I actually saw this, and we had a little debate about it in our Discord, because the columnist said Joel Embiid consistently points to the birth of his son, Arthur, as a major inflection point in his basketball career. He often says that he wants to be great, to leave a legacy for the boy named after his little brother, who tragically died in an automobile accident when Embiid was in his first year as a 76er. Well, in order to be great at your job, You first have to show up for work. Embiid has been great at just the opposite. Now in his 11th season, he consistently has been in poor condition. The poor conditioning apparently seems to have delayed his debut this season. Nice. My first reaction reading this column is like, one, when I read it was like, hey, like, of course, as a star player in this league, playing in that type of market, you're going to get criticism, which is completely fair.
Totally.
My next thing is like, you don't bring up the dude's family. You don't bring up like that.
Especially to talk about something negative on, like, that's just piling on.
Yeah, you can't, to me, you can be critical without going there.
I agree.
You can be critical of Embiid and be like, you know what? I believe he's not able to play because he's not in shape and blah, 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 blah. Fine, like that's fair game. That's basketball. Like that comes with the territory of being a star in this league. And you know, Embiid probably deserves some criticism over time for maybe not being in the shape he should be. It's also, you know, came into this league. I mean, he came into this league broken, right?
Right.
But whatever. So anyway, that column came out last week. Well, apparently tonight, Embiid confronted the reporter. Here's a report from Shams Charania from ESPN.
What I'm told, essentially right after the game tonight in Philadelphia, the Grizzlies beat the 76ers, as we just saw right there. And Joel Embiid, and a columnist who recently wrote a column on Joel Embiid and referenced his late brother and his son, they got into a verbal back and forth. They had an emotional moment in that locker room, and it turned into a physical altercation. From what I'm told, Joel Embiid shoved that columnist, and now sources tell me, and a league spokesperson tells me, that the NBA has commenced an investigation into the situation. They're aware of the reports, and they are starting an investigation into Joel Embiid shoving a columnist and getting into a physical altercation with a columnist in the locker room. I'm told there was a lot of yelling, and then security, other members of the team got involved in that situation to break it up. But Joel Embiid got into a physical altercation shoving a columnist in the postgame locker room tonight.
Crazy stuff with the 76ers.
Can we just say that there are so many, not so many, but there are media members around the country who are entitled assholes and believe that they can write whatever the fuck they want and that nothing's going to happen. He had every right to do anything he wanted in that situation. No, and I don't believe in violence at all, but like, oh my, it makes me sick because there's too many, like I've seen it before where they're like, I can write whatever I want. And then they feel like there's nothing that's going to come from it. Because for the most part, if you are a player, if you are in front of everyone, you have to keep your cool. You can't say anything because then you're the ass. Joel Embiid isn't perfect. We've seen him bitch so much. We've seen, obviously, him, you know, have his issues or be whatever you want to call it on social media. Whatever. There's just, he has his moments. But at the same time, you just, it doesn't mean that you can just go after him because he said he wanted to leave a legacy for his late brother. And then you use that within the same freaking paragraph. Like, that's just stupid. You're just not doing your job as a journalist or
a columnist.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I guess my point that I've already said is like,
gross.
You know, you can be critical without like bringing family into it. It just felt like
doing your job.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's just like you're going too far with it. And Embiid, I guess, did talk about the reporter on Friday. He said, if your body doesn't react well and if your body tells you one thing, I've done it. From what I can tell, I've broken my face twice. I came back early with the risk of losing my vision, had broken fingers. I still came back. So I'm not going to sit here and be like, I see people saying he doesn't want to play. I've done way too much for the city, putting myself at risk for people to be saying that. I do think it's bullshit. Like that dude, he's not here. Marcus, whatever his name is. I've done way too much for this effing city to be treated like this. Done way too much. I wish I was as lucky as the other ones, but that doesn't mean that I'm not trying and doing whatever it takes to be out there, which I'm going to be pretty soon. So that's my other thing. If you're going to write a column, there's people who do this in the business. This is just, now I'm speaking as just like someone who's been in the media, who's been around like players and been at practice and coaches over the years. There's nothing that kind of irritates like players and coaches more with the media than the people who throw shit out there and talk and then they don't want to show their face, right? Like they don't want to show up to games or practices. They want to talk a lot, but they don't want to show up. And it's the same thing. Like, I mean, I feel the same way about if media does. I'm like, what are we doing? Like, then show your face. Like, ask the question. Yeah. Like, it's easy to just throw things out there. Show your face. And so, obviously, I don't want Embiid to be, like, crushing some columnist, but I understand why he's upset.
Yeah. No, I'm completely with you on that because it's, like, not everyone in the media is created equally. Like there's people who actually have empathy and give a shit, even if they are going to criticize you. And I think that's always, I remember back in the day when I first started in sports radio, I remember always thinking like, oh, that's going to be difficult. Like you talk about someone being bad, but then you have to go say hi to them, you know, later that night. And what I realized was it's how you talk about them being bad. You go with the facts. You go with what your opinion is on what needs to change. I mean, for example, if you're talking about De'Aaron going 0 for 11 from beyond the arc, you're not talking shit because you're talking about him going 0 for 11 from beyond the arc. You're talking about the whys he went 0 for 11, why you want him to take the ball in more. Like, you go through it. And some people are just lazy and want to just, like you said, throw shit out there and not actually like back it up with anything.
The other thing with the Embiid situation, I think what's kind of hurt the Sixers in some ways with this whole saga, if you want to call it, is not properly communicating what is happening. You saw the guy playing the Olympics. Is everything okay? Like, is there an injury? Why is he not ready? And so I think that uncertainty, and then you have Embiid come out and say, yeah, I'm probably not playing back-to-backs this year. And so people are searching for answers.
Yeah.
And they're trying to figure out. And if you just get in front of it and be like, hey, here's the situation. His knee's not feeling right, blah, blah, blah. You don't have to hide it. Like, we know that this guy has been injury plague throughout his entire career. What, he missed the first two seasons of his NBA career because of it, right? Like,
yeah,
this is what has happened to him. And so we see it every year when he's limping around the playoffs. Like, the guy is constantly banged up and he needs to play through it, blah, blah, blah. He has. And sometimes it doesn't look good because of it.
Hating an athlete because they get injured all the time or they're injured, whatever. Like, that's dumb. Being frustrated about it, that's a whole different story. I can't imagine what even Clippers fans are feeling right now about someone like Kawhi Leonard, right? And even when I think something is said like, oh, not surprising that his knee is hurt or that he has to be reevaluated, not surprising. It's not even to be mean. It's literally not surprising because it happens consistently. Yeah. Like, it's on cue. And it's the same thing with Joel Embiid, and you don't want that for anybody, and nobody wants that for themselves, and you want them to find a way to possibly work through it. But at the same time, all bodies are not the same.
Yeah. And the, you know, injuries suck, man. And I think about with him all the time is like, what if he had been healthy?
Sure.
I mean, and that's the other, one other note on that column is talk about the legacy. I'd say his legacy is pretty good. The guy made it to the NBA and won an MVP. He's been an all-NBA guy, an all-star. Has he done everything and won a championship? Has he been in the conference finals? No. There's definitely things I'm sure he'd like to accomplish and do that he's not been able to do. I think his legacy is just fine with his family. Mm. So that's the last thing I'm going to say. You be critical of these athletes all day long, whether you're a columnist, a fan, anybody. Yep. But don't get personal and bring up family anything.
Weird.
It's not your thing.
Just weird.
Let's talk some other NBA stuff real fast, Morgan.
Mm-hmm.
What is going on with the Golden State Warriors? How?
They pulled up? No.
The Golden State Warriors almost lost a 31-point lead. It went to overtime, but they end up prevailing over the Houston Rockets tonight, 127-121. Third straight game they win without Steph Curry. One. Okay. They are now 5-1. And their leading scorer tonight.
Who was it?
Buddy Hield. What the hell?
Well, he's one of the best basketball players in the league.
Obviously. Well, apparently he is. And you think about last year, like with him in Indiana, then getting traded the Sixers. I'm like, all right, what's Buddy going to be? Right now, as it stands, coming into tonight, actually, he was averaging 21 a game. Buddy Hield, averaging 21 a game, which you go, well, I mean, I know Buddy could do that. No, this is a career high 21 a game for Buddy Hield at this point, and that number is higher after he scored 27 tonight on 6 of 10 from 3. Are the Warriors good?
They're not bad. They're getting wins.
Without Steph Curry.
Right. Like but I never... I feel like I didn't think the Warriors were going to be bad. Remember, my main thing is like, you can't count out Steph Curry, and everyone's like, it's a team sport. But it's like, no, Steph is like unreal. And what you're seeing is that now with all these other pieces, Steve Kerr, once again, just making shit work.
Well, and
making shit work.
The one thing that he's talked about, and I don't know if I agree all the way, but He is saying how much he loves the depth of this team. But he does play a lot of guys right now. And, you know, guys are showing up. The other night, Lindy Waters III, who, you know, was with we called him his games when he was on the OKC Blue. He's kind of been a role player, mm-hmm. a bit. He's not even a role player in this league. You know, he's with Oklahoma City last year, but, like, he wasn't playing. And here he is, even starting the season out of the rotation with Golden State, but then gets minutes and produces. But he's on a tear. De'Anthony Melton has had some nice moments. But something we did talk about with Golden State, and it's something that I was a little concerned about going into the season, was, like, if you think back to last year, the Klay Thompson, like, contract status thing definitely was a distraction.
Sure.
And it messed with him. You had Draymond getting that suspension, missing a ton of games. Andrew Wiggins, how many games did he miss last year? And so all of a sudden, Klay's in Dallas now. Draymond's on his best behavior at the moment. 5 games in, let's give it up to him.
Yeah, great job.
And Wiggins, his father passed away. And that was something I think that was really impacting him, his father's health over the last couple of years. And so now his father obviously passed away. And I think now he's able to, like, okay, focus. I can focus on basketball now and kind of move on and try to grieve during it and all. But it just seems like there, you could make the case, hey, yeah, Wiggins is back, Draymond is best behavior, and they added to their depth. They got Steph. They could be pretty good because they still won 46 games last year with all that shit that went down. That's my point.
Yeah.
I'm not buying them yet, though.
That's fine. I think that's it's fair. But at the same time, sometimes you look at these pieces and you look at these players and it's not, they're not bad. They're, you know what I mean? These aren't bad players. And you think about Steve Kerr and the style of basketball that he's coached for so long has been winning basketball. And he has figured out a way. It's not so much about the way he develops guys. It's the way that he plays guys. It's the way that he coaches. And he's getting the most out of some of these guys. And it's impressive right now. Hopefully it doesn't stay that way.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty crazy.
It's so annoying.
Oklahoma City still undefeated tonight, Morgan. They beat the Clippers tonight. They are 6-0 on the year.
Okay.
It's a fun team, man.
It really is.
Really fun team. Phoenix now 5-1. They beat the Blazers tonight, 103-97. So Phoenix having some nice moments. They still have, like, a Nurkic problem for sure. But, yeah, they're pretty damn talented. Oh, Cleveland now 7-0.
Really?
Yes, they are now 7-0. Cleveland, look out. They are 7-0.
Wow.
They beat the Bucks tonight, who are now 1-5. Dame Lillard dropped 41 in the loss. Giannis had 34, 16, and 9 in the loss. And there's been some talk, I don't know, in the NBA rumor mill that Giannis may want out at some point.
I mean, are you surprised at all? Like, even from comments before, it's not like he's hit it. And I don't think there's anything wrong with him being honest about it. But I also don't think the organization has done a fantastic job giving him a whole bunch of
That's young the pieces. Problem. Okay, they fired a great head coach in Mike Budenholzer.
Yeah.
Like, he was a problem. All that guy did there was win. And you know what they did? They didn't improve the roster around him. Around Giannis. I mean, yeah, you add Dame, but, like, that backcourt still has problems guarding, just like they did last year when it was him and Malik Beasley. Dame is not a good defensive player. And the athletes around Giannis, where are they? Like, think about a team that had Jrue Holiday at one point.
I know.
Jrue Holiday.
And the moves that they made, it's not working.
They look old,
it's early. It's
unathletic.
Early. But they do look like all those things.
But they look kind of broken last year, and they're starting 1-5 with those guys. No coaching change is going to, it's not going to alter anything. Like, you got to change within or make some tweaks. So Giannis to Sacramento, huh?
Dude, what if it was like to the Warriors?
You joke, but that's,
I know,
that's something to worry about because you get no.
I'm joking. Glad
you brought this up because you got to remember there was a point in the offseason. Anthony Slater reported this with The Athletic that the Warriors were trying. They thought at one point they were going to get Paul George and Markkanen,
yeah,
which would have been, like, disastrous. They strike out on both. You have to think, Morgan. You have to think that they're going to try to take a swing at something like that if Giannis was available. Are you kidding me? And they could package up. That's the swing you make.
We won't give up Podziemski.
Could you imagine? Like, dude, Giannis was ready to go. He knows Northern California quite well, but the Warriors were insistent on not including Podziemski in the deal.
Oh God, that would be hilarious. Hilarious.
I mean, it would, you know, you got to think Kuminga. I mean, what do you want? Kuminga, Podziemski.
You get anything you want at that point.
Moody and picks. What do you want?
And maybe it's not enough and another team has more to give.
Yeah. Oklahoma City.
Stop.
With all their picks.
Oh. Well, stop.
I know.
Just don't even think about these things.
I don't want
to. But if anything breaks, we'll be going live.
Yeah, yeah. We do have a couple of people in the Discord chat that we can get to in a sec, Morgan. I was trying to look around the league real fast if there was anything else you want to hit on. Do you have any other thoughts around the league or anything else you want to touch on in life?
What's going on in my life?
Okay.
No, I'm good. Ooh.
You want the bowl question?
I do, but I just want to warn you that there could be an outfit of the game video coming out with a special guest.
Yeah, Morgan on her Instagram's been doing this outfit of the day thing where she's
OOTG.
Outfit of the game thing where she chronicles what she wears before King's broadcast. Captivating stuff. Anyway, and she's had me partake in it. You know, like a good teammate, I do it. I'm not happy about it, but I buy it.
I think you kind of like it now. You've literally have like learned how to pose a few things.
I don't care. All I think about is like, I can't wait for this to be over.
You're standing in front of a freaking camera for 10 seconds.
I don't like posing.
Okay, so neither do I, but what I do know is that I need to archive the amount of work that I put into a freaking outfit. So that's what I'm doing.
Well, check it out. Morgan's going to have a special guest.
Tomorrow.
The poll question, was this loss concerning? Yes, very. The other option is deuce. It's one game, you idiot. No. And the last one is a little bit. 42% of people vote deuce. It's one game, you idiot. No. 33% say a little bit. And 25% say yes, very. Where do you fall in this?
Deuce, it's one game, you idiot. No.
Okay.
I like that. That was a choice.
I'm a little bit.
Okay.
Because of the minute stuff that I brought up.
Yeah, but like, figure it out.
All right. Let's check in with Manny real fast. What's up, Manny?
Deuce, you idiot.
No, you're not. Hi, Manny.
Hey, Morgan. Look, two things that I want to touch on what you guys talked about. The first thing talking about Embiid, it's always a no-win situation with him. When he plays and drags his arm or leg through a playoff, people are asking why he's playing, but he's doing everything possible to get his team to that next level. Or if he doesn't play, then he's hurt all the time and people question his passion for the game. So I feel like people have been doing that to him forever, and it's just boiled over to an extent. And I think people need to also, I know they get paid a lot of money. I know these guys are making millions and billions or whatever, but they're human beings too. And this is their dream. And when things like this happen, and people are all around you are tearing you apart or talking about you and always pointing out your failures, it's a lot to deal with on an emotional,
level. I'm with you on that.
So,
hell yeah.
And with the Golden State Warriors, like I hate this because I have to deal with Drew Down all the time and he's insufferable when they're winning, but they do a great job of pinpointing guys that fit their system and will thrive. No matter how those players are playing, wherever they're coming from, they pinpoint their skills and their weaknesses and fit it perfectly into their system. And those kind of guys, just whether it's Iguodala, whether it's
Buddy Hield,
Looney, whoever.
Yep. It's annoying. It's annoying is what it is.
Manny. It is so annoying.
Yeah. Dude, good catching up, Manny. Thanks for checking in.
Thanks, Manny.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Oh,
stupid Warriors, dude.
It's so true. I mean, he's so right about that, though. It's like, all right, plug into the system. Let's bring the best out of you.
Joe, are you there? What do you want?
Oh. Hi, Joe.
Yo, what's up, man? I'm here, yeah. To be honest with you, I didn't know. I just joined voice check. There's all people in here, and I didn't know I was going to be on the show, but... yeah, that game was frustrating, man. I would like Fox to, you know, be more consistent. I get it. It's the second night of a back-to-back long flight. But, you know, you're also an NBA player. You got to play games like this. If you're not hitting threes, don't shoot so many, you know? Maybe that's oversimplifying it, but it was frustrating to watch. I wouldn't have had him take the last shot. I would have given it to, like, Monk or put a guy like, what's the white guy's name? McDermott in there. And why did Mike Brown start McDermott and just instantly go away from him? I don't get that.
Because Doug had challenges defensively.
Yeah, the whole team has challenges.
No. I mean, when I was waiting for Morgan, I was watching back some of the made threes early on. I'm like, okay, Doug lost his guy. That led to dribble penetration. Guys have to help. And all of a sudden,
Boucher, three.
Three ball, open three. And, you know, it's problematic. And so, like, basically, if Doug's out there, he's got to be better defensively. And I don't know if he's capable of doing that. Like, he's got the size. We talked about the same thing with Kevin Huerter. People get on Kevin and like, oh, man, he's so bad defensively. Well, Kevin this year has not been bad defensively. He's had some really nice moments. He's competing. He's using his size, active hands. I didn't see that from Doug. So
for sure. All right. Yeah, I get it. I just don't understand why you put him in the lineup to start then. But
I'm with you on that.
Some fresh legs or whatever, but I thought I'd rather start Keon or somebody, Monk. I don't know.
All right, Joey. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, right? Joe.
Yeah, have a good night.
Bye. Right.
There's Joe.
I didn't even know I was in here.
Any other final thoughts for you, Morgan?
No, I'm excited for an extra hour of sleep. I'm excited just to sleep. I'm going to sleep so hard tonight. It's going to be so fun.
Kings of Miami coming up on Monday. We'll be live after that game. I think we'll do another late night one Monday. I think that's a plan.
Oh, yeah.
And Miami was in Mexico City playing a game tonight. They played Washington. They won 118-98. So Miami now 3-2 on the year. Bam had been struggling, but had a big game today. He had 32 points in the victory for Miami.
Damn.
It's Miami. I remember the Kings played him last year in Miami when they had lost like 7 of 8 or something crazy like that. And the Kings lost. And yeah, it's going to be a tough final game. And then you come home for the Raptors again. Kings better beat the shit out of the Raptors at home on Wednesday night.
I hope. I mean, you want to see it. So. Yeah. Hopefully that's what can happen.
Well, we appreciate you guys so much for hanging out with us tonight. Make sure to drop us comments after the show. Make sure to hit the thumbs up. And you know what? We're going to be here all 82 games. Let's enjoy those ups and downs together. We love you guys, but we got to go.
You all have a wonderful rest of your evening. We'll catch you next week. See ya!
Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, the podcast that you know, Deuce and Mo.